This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. If you're a fan of After the Gridiron, make sure you subscribe to the show to ensure that you won't miss an episode. Today's episode is sponsored by Symphonies. Symphonies is an online store that provides custom clothing and accessories. They have a number of quality products available at affordable prices. They offer custom, unique, funny, and inspirational products that you won't find anywhere else. So go to www.symphonies.ca to shop for your next purchase. And as a special offer for our listeners, enter promo code GRIDIRON to get 15% off your purchase. So there's no excuse not to check it out. Again, that's www.symphonies.ca. Symphonies, great products, great prices. All right, everyone, and welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I am your host, Lyle Green, and we have another great guest lined up for you today. Today we have OJ McDuffie. So OJ played 9 years in the NFL. He played his total career with the Miami Dolphins. He was a first-round pick in the 93 draft, so 25th pick overall. He came out of Penn State University. He was an All-American in 92 at Penn State, and he also played baseball, so a great athlete. He played 1 year of baseball at Penn State and has the record for most stolen bases in a game with 4. I'm not sure if that's held up to this time, but we'll go with that for now. And was actually drafted in the Major League Baseball draft by the California Angels as well. So, like I said, a great athlete. And now he has his own podcast. It's called The Fish Tank, Dolphins Tales from the Deep. And you can get that available wherever you get podcasts, on iTunes and Google Play and everywhere else. And also has his own foundation, the Catch 81 Foundation, which benefits kids in South Florida area. So doing great things in the community as well. And you can get information on that on his website, catch81foundation.org. So OJ, thanks for coming on and welcome to the show.
Oh man, I appreciate you having me on. It's always good to be on.
All right, appreciate you coming. And so I usually start off my interviews by asking my guests to say something about themselves that most people wouldn't know about them. So what's that for you? What's something interesting about you that most people wouldn't know about you?
How about something interesting about me is I know all the presidents in order.
Oh, really? No way.
That? Yeah.
Okay. I won't ask you to do them all. I won't ask you to say them now. But, I'll take your word for it. Nice. That's cool. Sorry. Were you like a history buff in school? Was that something you just liked?
No, I had a good friend growing up. I grew up in a small town, Marion, Ohio. And one of my best friends, Maurice Williams, he knew the presidents like age 10, and so it was always a mission of mine to learn them as well. So by age 12, I got it down, and I've been, adding on every 4 years or 8 years ever since.
Yeah. Oh, nice. There you go. Okay, cool. That's a good party thing you can bring up.
Exactly. That's exactly what I did, too.
Nice.
That and card tricks,
Card tricks.
You got everybody.
You're all set. Exactly. Exactly. You're commanding the room if you got those two things. All right. So let's go back to the beginning and talk about when football started for you. So when did you start playing football?
I started playing flag football when I was 6 years old. Okay. I grew up in, like I said, in Marion, Ohio. We weren't allowed to play tackle until we were 10. So I played flag from 6 to 10 and then tackle football ever since then from 10, 11. I took 1 year off. I did take a year off of football because I was mad at my mom when I was 13 years old.
Yeah.
But ended up, she knew that, mad at me all you want because you're gonna be the one going to regret it. She's absolutely right, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, mom's always right.
always.
Yeah. Okay, so we know that you played football and obviously you played baseball as well when you were at Penn State. So did you play other sports growing up as a kid?
Yeah, I actually played. I lettered in 4 sports for 3 years in high school: baseball and track, and I also played basketball. But baseball was a funny thing. Track was a funny thing because baseball was my number 2 sports. I played that most of the time, but if we ever had a doubleheader on a Saturday, I'd go get some qualifying long jump and high jumps in. And then go back and play the second game of the doubleheader.
It was like a busy
Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but just always in Ohio, when it got cold and it was snowing, you had to go indoors and play something. Yeah. Some basketball with my, you know, my favorite sport.
Basketball season.
And then the spring, of course, you got baseball and track in. So I just tried to do it all. All my uncles played everything. So it was, I had to do the same thing.
Yeah, you had to follow suit. Exactly. Exactly. All right. So was football always your favorite sport, or was it just something you were kind of the best at?
Basketball is my favorite sport. But, okay. You know, I'm only 5'10", so that didn't work out too well for me. Football is my second favorite sport.
Yeah.
My mom thought I was best in baseball, so that's...
Oh, really?
That's
that might be the protective genes in her, so wanting you to stay safe in baseball. Maybe that's what it was.
Right. That's exactly what it was, because my kids, both of my kids now, I have a 17 and 11-year-old, they both play baseball.
Oh, there you go.
After my mom, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about Penn State and your choice of going to Penn State. I'm guessing you're a top recruit out of high school if you're going to Penn State. So talk about your choice of Penn State over other schools.
Yeah, you know, being an Ohio boy growing up in Central Ohio, about 45 minutes from Columbus, you know, Ohio State was always my favorite.
Yeah,
always my favorite school, always my favorite team in every single sport. I'd watch the game or watch them play on Saturday, and then I'd watch a replay early Sunday morning. You know, just before I got ready to watch some of the NFL games. But Ohio State was always a love of mine. I ended up moving to Cleveland when I was 13 years old. And that's why my mom and I kind of fell out about me playing football, because I was regretting and rebelling against that move.
Yeah.
I became a big Browns fan at that point. But still, Ohio State, they ran the state. Everybody in the state wanted to pretty much go to Ohio State.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
So I was locked and loaded, man. So I was committed to Ohio State. And then my senior year, they fired Earl Bruce. And I just started looking at the other schools that I was looking at. Of course, that was Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan, and UCLA were my final five of the, you know, 60, 70 schools that, you know, that have reached out to me. Narrowing it down to those schools, I didn't think I could go wrong. And my mom felt that, you know, those are all good choices for me. And once again, she wanted me to go to Notre Dame, but, you know, Joe Paterno won out, and I wanted to go to Penn State. Penn State was going to let me play football and baseball, as you know, and that was a big determining factor for why I went there.
Okay, so were the other schools not letting you play baseball as well?
Notre Dame was, Michigan, and UCLA were not. Ohio State was going to let me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but going to Penn State, you really can't go wrong with that program and the storied history with them and Pennsylvania. So, you definitely made a good choice going with them. But
You know, what I loved about Penn State and Joe was Joe didn't give me any promise. He didn't promise me anything. He promised me a couple of things. He promised me we'd play big-time football and possibly play for a national championship, and he promised me I'd get my degree.
Yeah.
And both of those things were accurate. Some other places, you know, they promised starting and, you know, things like that, you know, and, you know, different positions. And it wasn't... You know, I just didn't believe a lot of what I was being told from a lot of recruiters. And Joe was just a straight shooter to me, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. As a kid, you definitely want to hear someone that's going to be honest with you and you know, lay it to you straight, as you said. And him saying, you know, not shooting over the moon and giving you promises that they wouldn't fulfill and come through with, that's probably something that definitely propelled you to go with him and stay with Penn State instead of the other schools.
Yeah, a lot of guys get guys on campus, man, and things change.
And things change big time, exactly.
Yeah. Thank goodness Joe was a man of his word.
Sure. Exactly, there you go. All right, so you obviously had a great career at Penn State. You were an All-American in 92 and had some great teams there. So talk about your time there and how things went for you at Penn State.
You know, Penn State was a tough process. You know, I think you've already understand that I'm a mama's boy. So even being 3 or 4 hours away from there, I grew up with just my mom.
Okay.
You know, I can backtrack a little bit. I grew up with just my mom. My mom was one of 13 children, and was number
big family.
Yeah, she's number four. She was 15 years old, and she actually went on and, you know, finished high school. She was the first one in her family to finish high school. She went on, got her college degree, and then went on and got her master's, and she ran a bank for 20 years. So,
she's
my role model. She's the one I look up to, you know. So at that point, you know, her decision making was always spot on, from, you know, moving to Cleveland when I was 13 years old to going from the high school, the middle school I was going to in Cleveland, to a private school outside of Cleveland. You know, she made all those decisions for me. I regretted them. I rebelled against all of them.
Oh, yeah.
They all ended up being great decisions for me personally.
Yeah.
And but being far from my mom at Penn State, I was super homesick, wanted to come home. And she's like, no way, hell no, you're not coming home. You better figure it out. Man up, grow up, you're not coming home, man.
Yeah.
And so the beginning was rough. I wasn't playing a lot. I'm used to, as you know, I was used to playing so much and being a man. you get to college, man, it's a humbling experience.
It's tough. Yeah, it was humbling. For 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, man. So that spring, you know, that fall was rough. I got to play a little bit at the end. And so I burned my red shirt year. And so that was tough. Joe told me I could play baseball, but I couldn't play my first year. So my freshman spring, I had to do fall ball.
Yeah.
So I did that. I did fall, spring ball. And after that, Joe, he gave me carte blanche. I was able, you know, I stayed there for intercession and summer classes. And then by my sophomore year there, which since I had redshirted, I played in that, you know, the first game of the year against Texas. I hurt my knee.
Oh, no.
I was out for 7 weeks. So I used my redshirt then. But Joe still was a man. He said, still let me play baseball that spring. And that's when I played baseball.
Oh, okay.
Instead of fall ball. I mean, instead of spring football. And so then it was like everything was good. You know, baseball was good. Came back my junior year, which was my redshirt sophomore year, and I started for the next few years and had some really good seasons with some good players, man. And, you know, I had to make a decision once I got drafted in baseball whether I was going to play baseball or football. And California Angels came after they drafted me, and they offered me $10,000. And I'm like, I'm from a poor family here. I'm gonna have to let baseball go and start working on this football thing because it's looking like it's pretty promising for me. And so that's when I shut baseball down and started focusing completely on football. Joe found a lot of different ways to get me involved offensively, kick returns, had some good games against some big teams, and then the rest, you know, was pretty much history. I actually got hurt in Japan Bowl. You know, we was in that all-star game in Japan. I hurt my knee, and I was worried about my draft status, man. I was really concerned. And, you know, I was thinking I was going to drop out of that first round.
Off the first round, yeah.
And I got lucky that the Dolphins called, with that 25th pick, and I was able to, you know, get drafted in the first round and play at the Dolphins for my entire career.
Yeah, so, yeah, before we get into, the Dolphins and things like that. So, at Penn State, was your mom able to come to many of the games? Did she come to, like, pretty much every game or no?
Yeah, mom came to every home game. And then she took an away game that she'd save up for to go to.
Okay.
You know, and we were playing that schedule. You know, we were playing at Texas. We played at USC. We played at Miami. You know, we played all these different road games. So she had that. We weren't in the Big Ten yet, so we were in an independent schedule.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So she was able to go to one game a year. I look at some of these parents now, and some of these kids, you say they don't have a lot of money, and I see their parent at every game. Like, how's that possible?
How's that? You know?
I mean, something's going on here. What's going on, Reggie Bush?
You know? Yeah, exactly.
I love Reggie. But she came to all the home games. She'd drive up and drive right back. Every home game, 4 or 5, probably 6 hours on the way home because so much traffic getting in and out of state college.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She was always present.
Nice, nice. That's awesome that you have that support and that she's able to come to most of your games at least and be there for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about getting drafted. You mentioned that you're drafted by the Dolphins in the first round. And you're worried a little bit about your stock going down after the injury. But talk about draft day and how that went and your experience being drafted by the Dolphins.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know where I was going to go in the draft. So what I had done was, you know, it was spring football at Penn State. I was already done. So I went up there for our blue-white game, annual spring game. And our draft, not like it is now, the draft's on Thursday night because, you know, it's prime time.
It's prime time now, Sunday.
Yeah, it was on Sunday, started at noon. I knew I wasn't going to be the first pick or the fifth pick or the tenth pick. So I knew I had a little bit of time. So I spent the night at Penn State and kicked it a little bit. I knew the draft day was going to come the next day, and I had a good chance of going in that first round. And so I got up early, you know, Sunday morning, drove back to Cleveland, and spent the day, you know, with my mom. Draft day with my mom, and just waiting on a phone call. I actually fell asleep once. My mom said, wake up. We've been waiting for this day. You better wake your ass.
It's a special day, son. Come on now. Yeah.
But I only got one phone call. You know, I thought I was going 22nd to the San Diego Chargers, and that didn't happen. So I was like, oh, man, here we go.
Yeah.
So 23rd came, 24th came, and I finally got a phone call, and it was Don Shula. Asked me if I, you know, wanted to come to Miami and be a Dolphin. And, of course, they had to answer. That'd be easy. I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and afterwards I found out, you know, Buffalo had number 26 pick. They said that Buffalo was going to give me the 26th pick. So I got real lucky.
Yeah.
Even though Buffalo was a great team, I got a great city. Absolutely.
Exactly. No doubt. Yeah. Yeah. Buffalo or Miami is a pretty easy choice for sure.
Yeah. A little different.
A little different. Yeah.
And so that was great, man. So I, I actually drove back down into the town I moved away from, that little small town, man, and the town went crazy. I was the first person out there to, you know, to be drafted in the first round of the NFL. And we went to my aunt's house, and they had to come and block the streets off. There were so many people there that watched me grow up and watched me play, you know, flag football and Marion midget football while I was there. And, you know, it was a proud moment for my little town.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, especially when you're in a small town like that, yeah, everyone knows everyone else and supports everyone. And yeah, for someone in that group to make it is, yeah, probably a proud moment, as you said, for everyone there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was cool. It was really cool.
All right, so was there a moment where you kind of thought you'd be good enough to make it to the NFL? Is there a time where you thought, you know, I have the skills to do it, or was it something that kind of just happened as you went along with your school?
Yeah, well, you know, I always talk about, like, this. As a kid, you dream about playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then once you get to be a certain age, you know, you're like, as a 10-year-old, you think, all right, can I play junior high football? In junior high, you're saying, wow, can I play high school ball? Yeah. In high school, you know, you're saying, I got a chance to play college. And when you get to college, I got to be my junior year, and I realized that, you know, I started hearing some church that I had a chance to play in the league.
Yeah.
And so after my junior year, I actually sat down with Joe. You know, I was considering leaving early. And Joe said, wait a minute, let me see where you're going to go in the draft. And at that point, it was like late first round to mid second round where I was projected.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, well, coach, I'd like to come back. And he said, all right, we'll come back. I wanted to solidify that, you know, that first round, you know, slot.
First round status,
you know, I almost messed that up in Japan, but, you know, I was lucky and blessed enough that I still hung in there. But yeah, I think that junior year is when I realized, damn, I got an opportunity here to play in the NFL, which is just realizing that childhood dream all over again.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's great when you're able to fulfill a dream and to make it to the top of the mountain and you know, play with the big boys, so to speak, and, you know, make it to the NFL. So, yeah, it's a great accomplishment and something to definitely be proud of for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt, man. I'm blessed, man. It was a you know, a lot of hard work, man, but everything's got to work out for you along the way, man. You know, there's a lot of great players that didn't get an opportunity, you know, like I got, because, you know, things just work out well for you. Work out, you know, work hard, and, you know, and you make some of the right decisions in your life, and it works out for some people.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, what, how much do you think what do you think is the key to make it? What do you think? Like you said, some players didn't make it that were definitely talented enough to do it, but you were able to do it. So what do you think is the difference between the guys that do and don't?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, talent's one. First and foremost, you have talent. You know, and a lot of guys have talent. You got to have opportunity. You know, like I said, moving to Cleveland was a great opportunity. A lot of people I grew up with in Ohio, you know, they're still there, still in the same town, doing a bunch of nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So moving to Cleveland was another, you know, it was an opportunity to move there. Going to my private high school where I played with a team that we lost 3 games in high school total.
So it gave
me an opportunity to get a lot of looks from a lot of different colleges just from our success alone.
Yeah.
You know, being able to, you know, get a full scholarship to Penn State or the other schools I was looking at. I mean, that's all, you know, all that stuff right there played into it. But, you know, also there's been opportunities where I went home instead of going out, you know, and some things happened to some friends while they were out, you know, hanging out, you know, or just, you know, wrong place, wrong time type of stuff. You know, that happens as well to a lot of great athletes. Some guys just, you know, just wrong place, wrong time. And fortunately, that didn't happen to me along the way either. You know, my grades were really good the whole way through, which helped out a lot. So that's because of my mom. She was not messing
She's
around.
She's drilling on you.
yeah, exactly. She was not playing.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, everything just kind of worked out, you know, for me along the way where, you know, gave me that opportunity, man. And when that opportunity met all that preparation, then I was ready to go. And I think so. There's a lot of things that play into it to get to the league, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, hard work and having the right opportunities and being in the right place at the right time. And yeah, surrounding yourself with good people and, you know, not getting in bad situations definitely are all definite factors in making it to the big leagues.
Absolutely. You know, and then I go back to also to my high school coach, Cliff Wall. You know, everybody talks about, you know, me playing for Paterno and Shula, two of the greatest coaches in their, you know, their different professions. But my high school coach, Cliff Walton, was right up on that same Mount Rushmore for me in terms of coaches. And before that, my Uncle Homer McDuffie was my coach of all coaches. He taught me everything I know. So I got, you know, my Uncle Homer McDuffie, Cliff Walton, Joe Paterno, and Don Shula. And I have the best coaches that any young athlete could ever ask for.
That's definitely a really good Rolodex of coaches for sure, to have those guys mentoring you and teaching you the game is definitely a huge advantage for you.
Absolutely.
All right, so yeah, let's talk about your time with the Dolphins. You led the league in 98 with 90 catches, and had some great seasons. So talk about your time with the Dolphins and how things went for you with in the NFL.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy getting drafted by the Dolphins in 93 because not too many people down here wanted me because
oh really?
I mean, they still had Duper and Clayton. Yeah, they still had Duper and Clayton.
They didn't boo the pick though, did they? They didn't boo you. Didn't boo the pick, did they?
No, well, I wouldn't. I wasn't pleasant. So I was in Ohio, so I got cheered in Ohio. I don't know what they were doing in Miami. But I read some articles though. I read some articles. Some of them weren't too flattering. That's the damn story. But they just traded Clayton to Green Bay for a second round pick, which they used to get Urban Fryer. So Duper, Urban Fryer, and Mark Ingram, and Tony Martin. Yeah. And then Freddie Banks was there, and Keith Jackson, and Keith Byers, and all of that. A bunch of great players. They didn't need an offensive player in the first round. But the year before, they got two really good defensive players in the first round. So really, what I came in my first year would do was return kicks. That was my role my first year, returning kicks. Took my first kickoff in a preseason game against the Atlanta Falcons on the road. I took it back 94 touchdown. And then I, during the regular season. Yeah. My first
kickoff game, return. Yeah.
And then I think week two, I took a punt return back for a touchdown against the Indianapolis Colts when they were in our division. And then somewhere in the middle of the year, I took a punt return on Monday Night Football back against Steelers. So I got in as a return guy at the beginning. Plus, there were so many receivers we already talked about. But also, Marino's a pit guy. He wasn't throwing the ball to a Penn State guy for anything at that point.
Oh, yes.
So we had to figure that out. I had to get over the good side.
That takes some time to get this good side. Man.
So that worked out, man. But for the first 2 years, I got very little receiver my first year. I got a little bit more my second year. And by the third year, I was starting to receive opposite Urban Fryer.
Okay.
And so that was nice, man. And then, as time went on, Irv got a little older, he got traded away. And so it started being me being the old guy and a lot of young guys coming in playing opposite me. You know how it is in the league.
Yeah.
They're always trying to replace you with somebody they're bigger, stronger, faster. And they just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't do it. And until I got hurt in 1999, like you said, I led the league in 98 with 90 receptions, which is nothing now. Yeah. If you don't go over 120 now, the way the game has changed, you're back at the pack.
You're having a low year, exactly.
So that was a great year. The first Dolphin to ever do that which is pretty crazy, how that Duper and Clayton were there. And 1 year, Clayton had 18 touchdown catches, the fact that I was there. But they had to spread the wealth, so they had to share those.
That's true.
Worked out for me.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool, man. And having Danny, having Marino, that first day I walked in that locker room, and you see Dan Marino, I'm used to playing with him on video games.
Exactly.
In high school and college, I was like playing video games. I was, me and Marino throwing the rock all around the yard,
Exactly.
So, when you walk in there and he's your teammate, man, it's like, damn, I made it, bro.
Yeah,
I made it.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about, kind of life after football and transitioning to life after football. I know you had your whole career with Miami. I'm sure you might have had some thoughts of going to another team near the end, and I'm not sure how things finished off. But talk about transitioning to life after football.
Yeah, well, I hurt my foot in 98 and tried to get back. I came back towards the end of 98, started doing, towards the end of 99. I got hurt in 99, came back towards the end of 99, tried to get back in 2000, didn't work out. So they put me on injured reserve. And I came back again, tried to come back in 01, didn't work out. So they put me on IR again, and that was pretty much it for me. And so I was definitely just away from it for a while. A lot of players, that's the toughest deal right there, man. And most guys don't go on their own terms. And I definitely didn't go the way I wanted to go out after having the year I had in 98 and was on track to even do better in 99. Then you get hurt. And then the rest of it was pretty much history when it comes to an injury like that. I hurt my great toe. People say, "Oh, it's just your toe."
But they don't understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
You planted pushing off,
coming back and gaining separation. Yeah, it was virtually impossible. With that injury. So, so that pretty much ended my career. So there, I just just down on myself. you know, and a lot of guys deal with the same type of depression. I'll be honest with you, I was depressed, you know, and still deal with depression to this day because, you know, you can't replace that feeling on that field from Penn State, 100,000 people to Dolphin Stadium with 75,000 people to anything like that. There's nothing in life where you'll get that feeling again.
It's
tough, man. It really is. So I try to stay as close to football as possible. I did radio for a long time. I did some TV for a long time. Along the way, I was doing my foundation work to continue to get back in the community like we did as Dolphins. Every Tuesday, we were in the community. And so I made sure I continue that with my own foundation, with golf tournaments, bowling events, Halloween parties, toy drives, stuff that we still do to this day to, you know, still try to get back to the community. But I still, man, being on that football field was a tough deal. So now, you know, with the foundation, me and my buddy Seth Levitt, we decided we wanted to get into a podcast because what happened was we were, you know, sitting around with some of the old players and we just, you know, just telling old stories. Yeah. You know, all we do is sit back and we relive in the old, good old days. You know, I remember. My buddy Seth was like, you know what? This would be a great podcast. And sure enough, you know, our podcast doesn't talk about X and O. We talk about guys and stories that, you know, that along the way, some funny stories, you know, when they were in high school, when they were in college. You know, when they got to the Dolphins, you know, something might have happened in the locker room or on the field, on a road trip. And it's been gaining so much traction, man. It's been so much fun to listen to. And I hear stories I never even knew existed out there from guys, man. It has us cracking up. And a lot of guys are just loving the stories, loving how some of these guys that are opening up that they thought were so quiet, you know, and telling some pretty intimate details about some things that happened in their lives. So it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely a lot of fun, and I got the same type of thing with my podcast here. Yeah, getting to hear stories of guys and things that you'd never heard of while we were playing, and some amazing stories and some fun stories and some great interaction with the guys and the guys opening up and sharing things that you never thought they would be able to share and hear about. So yeah, it's a great thing that you're doing the podcast and also your foundation that you're doing some great things with them and helping out in the community doing some things with down there in South Florida. So talk more about that and the things that you're doing there specifically in South Florida.
Yeah, well, my mom always said, you know, this community's been so good to us. You know, it's been really good to us, you know, and we got to make sure we continue to give back to it. And that was job one, you know, getting out there and making sure that it wasn't a guy that's just going to go and play football and collect a check and then go home. You know, I got to make sure I gave it back to the community. And that's what we started doing. We had a bowling, we had a golf event for about 15, 16 years that we did. We've done a toy drive ever since I've been down here, to gather up some toys and then distribute them to different charities that need toys for Christmas. You know, one toy for a kid on Christmas can mean the world to that kid.
Exactly.
I remember us growing up with very little stuff. We get a 6-pack of socks. And each pair of socks is one gift. You know what I mean? That was six gifts. That was a lot right there.
That's a lot.
So if we can make one kid, you know, Christmas a little bit better than it was going to be, then that's what it was all about, man. And, you know, to get back to different charities down here like Sheridan House, which has a bunch of single moms in there, like my mom grew up, Susan B. Anthony, which is now a Village South, which has a bunch of single moms in there.
Yeah.
Giving back to Be Right Leadership Academy down here. You know, it's an academy where all these kids go and they can go with their siblings and, you know, they get breakfast and lunch and that might be the only meal they get for the day, but it's a great place of learning, great discipline and, you know, and great leadership by a buddy of mine, Brent Wright. So we just try to figure out ways to give it back. And then, you know, we do a bowling event every President's Day weekend that we take up, you know, the whole house and raise money so we can fund all this stuff year round. And we give it all out and we do it all again every single year. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's nice. So you said a bowling event?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. So are you a good bowler?
Oh, strikes, yeah. I bowled 300 once and 299.
Oh, wow. Twice. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll play on your team then.
Yeah. Come on. Let's do it.
Nice. All right. Cool. So yeah, I'd like to finish off with what I call the top of the mountain moment. So kind of looking back on your football journey and your career and the things you've gone through, the highs and lows, the goods and the bads, the good stories and the bad stories. Was there a favorite moment, a favorite story? Is there words of wisdom for younger players? How would you like to finish things off here?
Well, yeah, I think the words of wisdom is, you know, what gave me the opportunity that I got to play in the NFL was the way I handled my education all the way through.
Yeah.
There was no, my mom said, don't let your grades dictate where you can go to school. And that's one thing we were going to do. So, you know, having the opportunity to go to any school, I had letters from from Princeton, from Stanford, you know, schools like that. I could have played basketball, Wisconsin, you know, so my grades were there where I can go to any school I wanted to. And I think that was the biggest thing that that helped me a lot, you know, not just my athleticism, but the way I handle my academics. And that's the key for young kids. They think they're going to be pros right now, you know, as teenagers, but yeah. You don't take care of those books. You know, my son, my oldest son right now, he's a senior now, he carries a 4.2. And that's the most important thing, or he's not going to play baseball.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to be able, you know, baseball doesn't work, what are we going to do? And that's what my mom said. If you know, football doesn't work, what are we going to do? You know, we got our education to fall back on. So I think that, you know, taking advantage of the educational opportunities are critical. And not only, you know, through high school, but when you get into college, you know, these colleges use these players. Use them back, get a degree. One thing they can't take away from you is that paper.
Exactly.
You know, so I think that's the words of wisdom I'd like for those kids to do. Start working on that educational baseline now and carrying on through college and get that paper.
Exactly. Great words of advice. And yeah, like you said, it's, you know, sports is only for a short term, a certain chapter in our lives. And there's lots of chapters after sports, and in this case, after football. So yeah, make sure you get that education that you have something to fall back on and can rely on after the fun of sports is done.
Yeah. Man, you know, you get back and you raise your family. I got a beautiful wife, two beautiful kids, man, and you know, trying to enjoy the back nine of my life.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, so OJ, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure, an awesome interview. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And again, for those who are listening, his podcast is The Fish Tank. You can find that on, you know, iTunes and Google Play and everywhere that podcasts are found.
That's right.
And also
that's
his
right.
foundation, Catch 81 Foundation. His website is catch81foundation.org. And do you have a social media? Can you give the tags to your social media?
Yeah,
well,
I'm on all of them. Okay. I think I'm at OJ McDuffie on some, at OJ McDuffie 81 on others. So I'm verified on Twitter and Instagram. So that's the only way I can, you know if it's mine or not. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll have the links. I'll put those in the show notes so people can
awesome.
Can click on those awesome. and follow you. All right, so
man, I appreciate
OJ.
You having me, man. Thank you, man. That's awesome stuff right there.
Oh man, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, man, take care.
Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Their support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.